word of the Lord. Praise God. Tonight, we're going to share just a portion of our ministry enrichment course, just a portion. So if you haven't been in these classes, tonight will be just a sample of what is in these classes. That being said, this Sunday will be lesson number 12, so we're excited about that. This first level is 12 lessons, and we're thankful. It's amazing, actually, the Lord has spoke to us lesson by lesson because we didn't know what we were going to be teaching. So if you're not satisfied with the content, then blame the Lord because it came from Him. But I hope that you're satisfied with the Word of God because the Word of God is the truth of God communicated so that we can understand, know Him. Let's turn very quickly to the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Verse number 8 and 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions or the hardships of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us. Say called. Called us with a holy calling. I want you to say that with me. A holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to His own power or His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I want to share with you tonight the highest calling. The highest calling. Anybody want to take a guess at what the highest calling is? Anybody want to take a guess? Now, you don't have to say it out loud, but just think about it. You ever thought about what is the highest calling? I hope you're ready for the revelation. I hope you're ready for the answer. Because God's going to give you the answer to the question, what is the highest calling? Let's pray. Lord, we love You. We thank You. We have experienced the manifestation of Your Spirit, and we have all been blessed, and we have all benefited. We have all been touched already in this service, and we thank You. We believe that You want to speak to us, not just touch us, but communicate truth to us, that we might know and understand You and who we are in You, so that we might move in liberty and move in truth and fulfill the calling of God that is upon each of us. In Jesus' name, let Your word have free course. Touch our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts that it would be fertile to conceive the seed of truth in this place tonight. In Jesus' name, and everyone say amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated. I don't have a lot of time. It's 7:42, so I've got to hurry along and try to communicate this word here tonight. The word calling, someone say calling.
Calling.
In the context of the scripture that we have just read, it does not mean a vocation, a profession, or a job. But in the context that we will communicate, the word calling simply means an invitation, an order, or a request. To be called is simply this: to be asked, to be summoned, to be bidden, or to be commissioned. And I want you to know tonight, under the sound of my voice, you have been called by God.
All right.
You're not here on accident. You're not here coincidentally. You are here because of the calling of God. In fact, the Bible tells us that He saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose. Not your purpose, but His purpose for you. And by His matchless grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So I want you to say this with me. God has called me. Romans 11:29, for the gifts, plural, charismata, gifts, and calling, klesis, singular. Notice gifts are plural, but the calling is singular. Because in the scripture there is only one calling that is, amen, disclosed in the New Testament. And that is the calling that we're going to deal with tonight. We often think that, well, the highest calling is that of an apostle, or that of a prophet, or that of an evangelist, or a pastor, or a teacher. Some may think outside of that arena. But the Bible is going to give us the answer that we need so that we are free in knowing and understanding the high calling of God. The Bible tells us, and I read and emphasize one more time, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. It means it will not be withdrawn. It will not be revoked. It is irreversible. It is not to be repented of. And of course, I am sure that tonight there are some, perhaps many, maybe even most of you, that are asking the question right now, what is the call of God? What is the calling of God all about? No doubt you have asked yourself the question, well, what am I called to do? What am I called to be? Where do I fit in the body of Christ? Where do I fit in the church, in the work, in the ministry of Jesus Christ? Well, according to the scripture, Philippians chapter number 3, I'm having to just preach this fast because I don't have much time. But Philippians 3 deals with the high calling, singular. Again, I want you to hear me now. He says high calling. The verse we read previously in 2 Timothy deals with the holy calling. These are not separate or different callings. It's talking about the same calling. And of course, I'm sure you're wondering and you're waiting for the answer. Paul said, this is what he said, after being in the ministry for many years, after writing letters to the churches, Paul stood up after being in relationship with the Lord for perhaps 30 or 40 years. This is what he said. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now compare that to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Notice he said the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to go ahead and give you the answer. The highest calling, the call of God that is holy, and the call of God, amen, that has come into our lives, the calling of God that we want to know and understand here tonight, is simply the calling to be with Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the answer that you've been looking for, that you have not understood. You have felt that, well, I'm not sure if I'm called to do this or to do this or to do the other. But I'm telling you tonight, by the revelation comes by the Spirit of God, of the Word of God, that the highest calling is to be with Jesus Christ.
And all throughout the scriptures, you can find it. We're dead with Christ, joint heirs with Christ, crucified with Christ. We're to live with Christ. We're to be together with Christ. We are to be risen with Christ. We are to be hid with Christ. We are to reign with Christ. We're to be buried with him. We're to be workers together with him. Amen. The Bible says quickened together with him, ultimately fellowship with him, and reign with him forever. The highest calling is to be with Christ both now and throughout eternity. I don't know if you can understand that or realize that, but if you can just hear what I'm saying, would you just lift your hands and say, I accept the call to be with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Notice the Bible says he called us out of darkness into what? Not into light, but into his marvelous light. Why does it say that? Because he is the light of the world. And if he's in you, he's the light of your life. And if he's in you, amen, you can live. And you can live a life that is more abundant because he is in you. According to the scripture, and I didn't write all of them down. I did not have time today. But the scriptures teach us that he calls us unto himself. He calls us unto himself. He calls us to know him, to follow him, and ultimately to be with him, both now and throughout eternity. Hallelujah. This calling involves, I want you to hear me, this calling involves a lot of things. Just like if I were to give you a job and say, this is going to be your job. You're going to work on this piece of machinery. You need to understand that it is your responsibility to learn this piece of machinery and learn how to operate this piece of machinery. And then if there's debris or if there's clutter, it's your responsibility to keep the machine clean and working efficiently and oil it and service it and take care of it. There's a lot of other details in this responsibility. And of course, as we begin to walk with the Lord, answering his call, not understanding like Abraham, he just heard a voice. The Lord had appeared to him and revealed himself. And said, Abraham, at 75 years of age, he, talking about a late bloomer. I mean, ask Moses. Ask him, 80 years of age, the Lord appears to him. Talking about late, I don't feel so bad now. I've always thought I'm a late bloomer, but compared to them, I'm just, my gosh, I'm just a whippersnapper. That's what Mama used to say. But the calling of God involves coming out of darkness. It involves repenting, being delivered from the bondage of sin and death, and into the light of God's truth via being born again. The first steps of the call of God are unto salvation and into right relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And of course, we cannot do this without the Word of God. Aren't you glad tonight that you're in a place where you can hear more than volume, but you can hear the voice of God crying in the middle of this wilderness, in the middle of this darkness? The voice of God is still being communicated, and people are hearing, and people are believing, and people are calling, and people are being saved. So the first steps of the call of God involve salvation and coming into right relationship with him. And as I've mentioned, we cannot do this and would not know what to do or how to respond if it was not for the Word of God. That's why I rejoice, because we've got a preacher. We've got someone who has been sent by God, anointed by God. He's the arrow of God's deliverance. And God targeted West Palm Beach, and he pulled the bow back, and he shot the man of God into this location so that there would be deliverance. And I'm standing here today because of God gave a man to preach. Oh, if you're thankful tonight, would you praise and thank and rejoice because somebody brought the gospel to you. And the Bible tells us that the Word became flesh, Jesus Christ, and dwelt among us. And this Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, God incarnate, God personified, that when he walked upon this earth, Brother Vieira, this is what he did. He didn't tell people, let's go to church. No. He did more than that. He came to where they were, and he said, follow me. Hallelujah. And that is the calling of God tonight upon every living soul that will hear the voice of God. Jesus is still calling, and he's calling people to follow him, because you'll never be with him until you follow him. Oh, can we praise the Lord tonight? Hallelujah. And this call to follow him, to be his disciple, was unceasing. It was to be progressive, continual, perpetual, ongoing. Not just something we respond to today and forget tomorrow. According to what we read and understand, the word follow, just a simple word, but it has such deep meaning. When you ask someone, do you follow Jesus Christ? Do you understand what you're really asking them? You're not asking them, do they attend church? Are they a member somewhere? You're not asking them what brand of religion they embrace, but what you are asking them sincerely is this: have you accepted him as your Lord, as your guide, as your leader? Have you accepted his authority? Do you, amen, give your allegiance to his leadership and lordship? That's what following really means. The word follow means to conform to comply with, to act in accordance with. Follow means to obey. It means to imitate, to emulate, or to copy. It means to pursue or go in the same direction as. Now ask yourself the question, am I really following Jesus, or am I just going to church and being a faithful tithe payer, offering giver? Come on, there's more than that. You can do that and not follow Jesus. Hello? And of course, if we have not made up our mind to follow Jesus, then we haven't answered the call of God. The call of God is to pursue and go in the same direction as, to join as an attendant or a partner, to accompany. The bottom line, to follow him means to be his disciple. And of course, we all tend, it's in our humanity, we all tend to follow our dream, to follow the crowd, to follow others, to follow our own desires and our own ambitions, trying to figure out what, where, when, how. Sadly, with unfulfilled expectations. Not realizing that if we will make him our focus and him our navigation system or our navigator, then he will direct us, he will lead us, he will guide us into the fulfillment of his call and his purpose for our very existence. Does that make sense to you?
A lot of us are trying to figure out where we belong. Where do I fit? What am I supposed to be doing? What is my ministry? And the whole time you're trying to figure out what you're trying to do, where you're supposed to be, you've gotten distracted by that, and you've taken your eyes off of Him, and you're just trying to figure out all these other details. And this is what He's trying to do. He's trying to liberate you from frustration and tell you, if you will hear His voice and follow Him, then He will work out the details that you've been frustrating yourself about. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. You know, when we're driving in the car, if we don't have a good sense of direction, or maybe if we just haven't been there before, we depend upon that navigation system, don't we? Just punch in the address, huh? Or just pull it up on our phone, the map app on our phone, huh? How many use that? And we depend on that, don't we? Huh? Oh, yeah. I feel the Holy Ghost saying, if you'll just look to me, let me be your navigator, then you won't have to stress out so much trying to figure out all the details and where you're supposed to be and when you're supposed to be there. Hello, God is saying, if you'll look to me, I'll be your navigator. I'll guide you. Oh, yes, He will. Yes, He will. Because if He calls, we have to answer. He's not our leader unless we follow Him. My God, I'm talking about the irrevocable call of God. The highest calling, both now and throughout eternity, is to be with Him. Praise God. The calling of God is always about following Him. He's the one that will lead us to where we need to go. My Lord. Into what we need to be. And, of course, what we need to do. The reality is, and I know that you've lived long enough to experience this and say, yes, this is true. Here's the reality. When you follow Him, there will be valleys. The terrain is not always smooth and easy. There are some rough places. There are some deep, dark valleys. There are some wildernesses. There are times of leanness and times of plenty. There are times of tribulation, times of test, times of temptation. The Spirit of the Lord led Him into the wilderness, and there He was tempted of the devil. So you don't always know where God's going to lead you, but you need to trust Him. Because He knows where He's going and He knows what He's doing. Hallelujah. And all of these things, the gains, the losses, the laughter and the weeping, they are all part of God's process of developing you and shaping you and molding you and making you to become more like Him. Can we lift our hands and give praise to the Lord tonight? There's nobody like Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God's people of old were called to follow Him. We can read about Caleb. We can read about Joshua, Moses, David, and many others. As we read their story, I believe that we would conclude that some followed Him partially and others followed Him wholly. They wholly followed the Lord. Some followed the Lord when the sun was shining and when there was money in the bank and when they were feeling good. But some followed Him no matter what it cost them. Some followed Him when everybody else turned their back on Him. The majority that brought the evil report, they didn't follow the Lord, but they yielded to fear, to doubt, and unbelief.
But Caleb and Joshua, the Bible tells us, they wholly, completely, and truly followed the Lord. And the ones that wholly followed him were the ones that God took into the promised land. Woo! The ones that said, we can't do it, it's too hard, they failed. But the ones that stood up and said, he can be trusted, we can follow him, we can possess the land, we've been called to such a time as this, those who said we could did. Oh, hallelujah. Why don't we clap our hands for those who believed him and answered his call? We can continue reading throughout the Old Testament and find that God called Abraham to follow him. He had to obey the instruction, the direction of the Lord. Abraham left home at 75 years of age. It was 100 years of age until some of these things began to come to pass. Now, he tried it on his own at 85 with Hagar, and the world's been in trouble ever since. And he said, at 99, Lord, I don't know. It was rough enough when I was 85, but now I'm 99. And the Lord said, this time next year, you and Sarah's going to have a baby. Hallelujah. And it came to pass. Woo, hallelujah. Aren't you glad for those that have confidence in God? That I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what happens or how long it takes. They hold on to their confidence in God and in his word. Praise God. So Abraham followed the Lord, not knowing where he was going, but he knew who he was following. That's what matters. You don't always know where you're going and how you're going to get there. But one thing you do need to know is who you're following. That's why the Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek. I don't know where I'm going, but I know who I'm following. Is anybody with me here tonight? I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where I'm going to be tomorrow, but I know who I'm going to be following. Woo! The voice of the Lord is still speaking. Praise God, praise God. He's calling us unto himself. The greatest fulfillment is not simply coming to church. Do I enjoy? Oh, yes, probably more than most. But that's not where the greatest fulfillment is. Hallelujah. Because in some situations and circumstances, some people can only get to church once a month. And some people have to walk to get there. Visit some of these other countries. Some people just have to have a little meeting with two or three people in a house or in a little hut somewhere. But aren't we glad? Come on, if they can have church in a tent in the wilderness, then we can have church in the cafeteria with the AC working. I'm telling you, God is not limited to time, to space, or matter. God can move and manifest anywhere. Somebody will believe and call upon his name. My God. So the greatest fulfillment is not just coming to church, but it's in who we're following. That is the greatest fulfillment of Christianity, is knowing that you're following him. And when you follow him, you're going to assemble. When you follow him, you're going to come to church. When you follow him, you're going to love people. When you follow him, you're going to witness to people. When you follow him, you're going to edify your brother and your sister in the Lord. When you follow him, you're going to reach the lost. When you follow him, you're going to go to Samaria. When you follow him, you're going to reach people that nobody else likes or cares for when you follow him. Ooh, what a joy, what a privilege it is to follow him, to be with him. If you follow him, you're going to minister. You might not have an office or a designated position. You might not have a title before your name. But if you follow him, you will have a ministry. Are you hearing me, Brother Garza? If you follow him, come on. The key to being made by God is following him. He says, if you'll follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more than that. He'll make you more than you can make of yourself. He'll make a masterpiece of your life. He'll make you a wise man or woman of God that can win, that can save, that can reach, that can minister, that can operate in the ministry of reconciliation. God can do that. Come on, you can read 1,000 books about God and never conform to his image. But if you'll follow him, you will be conformed to his image and his likeness, and you will be with him. You will be with him. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. It's not the stuff. It's him, him, him. He's the focus. Oh, God. This means that every one of us should endeavor to follow Jesus and his example in every aspect of life and ministry. We're called to do that. And here's a major key, of course, in discovering the details that you've been scratching your head about. The details of your specific assignment, your specific appointment, what it is you're supposed to be doing. If you will learn to simply follow Jesus every day, he will reveal it to you, and not just drop a word out of the sky, but most of the time, he works and communicates through the body of Christ. That's right. Read it. Those principles and examples are in the scripture. That's why we need to come to church and be faithful over a few of things. And if we can be faithful following him in the few things, then God can reveal other things to us. Praise God. So we should daily seek to follow the Lord and his example. And let him be the navigator. Let him direct. Let him guide. Let him lead us. And he will. David said, the Lord's my shepherd. He also said that he'll lead me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. For his name's sake. That tells me that God's trying to accomplish something in the earth through us. And of course, this is a major key in discovering the details of your specific assignments and appointments. So if God, I want to just say this. If God hasn't told you everything you think you should know now, don't worry. If he hasn't told you, don't worry about it. If he hasn't revealed it to you, don't worry about it. Huh? Listen, if God wanted you to know, he'd have sent the word somehow, either through a preacher or through an angel. God has a way of getting his word across to you. He has a way. Don't tell me God can talk. We serve a talking God. We serve a communicating God. We serve an intelligent God that knows how to speak our language. And if he has to send a donkey, he'll do it to make sure we get the message that we need to get. So what you need to concern yourself with is just this. I'm going to follow him. And I'm going to be faithful. So tell somebody before we close, just be faithful. Just follow him. And let him reveal the details to you. If you notice in scripture, and I'm running right now. Ooh, my, I'm on a fast jet. I'm on one of the little 15 passengers. 650 miles an hour. Get ready, we're fixing to land. Hopefully not in the water. God didn't reveal and disclose everything to his disciples. You notice that? He didn't tell them everything from day one, day two, year one, year two. No. It was like the last 2 months where he started revealing all this to them. So God didn't reveal it to them all at once. And of course, if you read the scripture and read the stories there in the gospel, sometimes they were assigned to perform what we may think as menial tasks. The apostles are the errand boys. Oh, yeah. The apostles, the great 12,
run errands for the Lord.
What we doing today, Jesus? Are we going to go help heal? Are we going to help, you know, raise somebody from the dead? He's like, no, I just need you to go get this little colt that's tied down here. Okay, we're going to, come on, guys, we're going to go get this colt today. But we want to preach. We want to lay hands on the sick. We want to raise the dead. Just go get the colt, son. I called you to follow me. That means follow my orders. Well, what are we going to do tomorrow? Well, tomorrow we're going to distribute some bread and fish to 5,000 plus people. Woo-hoo! Yeah, that's what we're going to do. Oh, but I'm called to preach only. Really? Oh, better back away from those who are only called to preach. No, no, no. If I understand the Bible says he called them to follow him. And some days he might lead you to preach, and some days he might lead you to bleach. Come on, somebody. Some days he might call you to feed the multitude. Sometimes he might call you to go prepare an upper room because we're getting ready to have a party. And I need somebody to set the tables and get the sound system working and work on their little chorus. It don't matter to me. Because I'm following Jesus. Whether I'm preaching or cleaning, I'm following him. That's what it's all about. Whether I'm playing, it doesn't matter. Whether I'm preaching or just cheering on the preacher, it's all about following him. Would you put your hands together and praise the Lord for a moment? Woo! My God. And after a few years of preparing meals and going to hang out with livestock and going shopping and hanging out with the Samaritans and engaged in all this physical manual labor, after a few years he said, okay, boys, you're ready. You're ready. Go preach the gospel. Preach the kingdom. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Heal the leper. Then he sent the 70. But it took a while. You see, he couldn't trust them in the big things until he proved that they would be faithful in the small things. Ooh, some people joined the church today and want to sing in the choir tomorrow. Oh my, I don't want to meddle. But it took a while, and he finally appointed and delegated authority so that they could do the work of an apostle. God wants to see that we will simply follow him. No matter what it is, no matter where it is, he just wants to see, will they answer my call and will they follow me? Will they be faithful to obey his commission and his commandment? Listen, it's the commission and the commandment. Do you understand that? Don't just read one verse and run with it and think that's it. No, no, no. It's the commission and the commandment. We know that the commission was go ye into all the world, but the commandment was to love people. Because you can go ye and don't love people and don't treat people right. I've seen people like that. Oh, yeah. They had the zeal, but they didn't have the character. That's why we need the commission and the commandment. And if we fulfill both, we're following him. So here it is. Let me just try to land this little jet. The calling of God may include numerous or many assignments based on what God wants to do in and through your life. Many opportunities, many experiences, responsibilities, numerous appointments, and even positions. But these things may change. These things may have term limits. These things may vary. But there's one thing that does not vary, that does not change, and that is the call of God to be with him. Moses, you may be leading today. You may be leading today, but tomorrow God may choose Joshua. So don't think, listen to me, don't think that just because your ministry assignment ends that you've missed the call of God. Because here's the reality. Your assignment, your appointment, most of the time, from what I can see, has term limits. But the call of God is forever. Hello, you may reach retirement. You may reach a point where you can't do it anymore, where God has to pass the mantle through you to someone else. Elijah, Elisha. But just because you're not prophesying anymore doesn't mean that God has changed his mind concerning the call of God. Because the call of God is irrevocable. It is unceasing. It is unchanging. Your appointment and what you do in ministry may change from today to tomorrow. But the calling of God to be with him will not be changed. Moses, you may have to stay on this mountain, but you're still called to follow me, to follow my voice. I know you didn't do everything right, but you're still faithful, and you still have confidence. Let's stand to our feet. What am I saying? I came here over 16 years ago to be youth pastor, but I'm not youth pastor anymore, but I'm still called of God. And I'm still following the call of God. You say, well, it doesn't say callings. It says calling. I was youth pastor for a season. My appointment, my assignment changed. But I'm still following the call of God. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus is to be with him. That means I'm not married to my assignment or my appointment, but I'm married to the one who called me. And if you're married to the wrong thing and that thing ends, then you're going to be depressed and discouraged and think that your life is over. But when you're married to him, it doesn't matter what you do. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if you're up here or down here. He brings the fulfillment when you follow him. I wish, let me just get some keyboard music. I'm closing right now. 37 minutes, praise God. I had to speed through this. But I hope I've said enough to get into your spirit, to help you understand, furthermore, that God leads, that God places, that God appoints. He puts us in the body where he wants us, not where we think we should be. You think I called myself to do this? No, you'd be crazy to do this if God didn't lead you to do this. No. Ask Pastor Kyle. He's not doing this, amen, because he thought it was a good idea. No, he was just following the Lord, and the Lord led him to where he is today. And that's why we're blessed, because somebody followed the voice of God. Somebody answered the call of God to follow Jesus. And because he followed, we have been blessed. So you following God and answering the call doesn't just bless you, but it makes you a blessing. Come on, Abraham. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not just blessed. I have become the blessing of the Lord. Come on, you're the light of the world. You're the salt in the earth. Hallelujah. And you're not going to be salty, and you're not going to bring illumination until you make up your mind. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to follow him. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and our voices unto the Lord here tonight. Hallelujah. To follow him. Come on, the fruit of following him. Oh yes, as you will know him, you will please him, you will become like him, and you will manifest him to the world. You will declare and demonstrate Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! You will be the living evidence and testimony that Jesus Christ is alive and well. You will bear his name and uphold his reputation, reflect his nature and his character, and manifest the kingdom of God in the earth. And according to Luke 15:31, this revelatory statement, this timeless word speaks to us that when we follow him, Pastor, all that he has will be ours. That blows my mind, Brother James. All that he has will be ours. And he will deliver unto us his kingdom. And we will reign with him forever. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the word of the Lord moving through this garden here tonight. And the prize will be, the ultimate prize will be, that you will be with him throughout all of eternity, sitting and reigning with him. No wonder he said in the book of Revelation chapter 3 verses 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Romans 17 and 14. Are you ready for this? This is for those who follow him. They are called, they are chosen, and they are faithful. Who's with him in eternity? The called, the faithful, or the chosen, and the faithful. One more time. This is it. Who's with him? Who's with him in eternity? The called. That's the calling. Because if you never answer the call, you'll never become the chosen. And therefore, you would never be considered faithful. You got to answer the call. Become the chosen. And endure to the end. And the prize of the high calling is we're going to be not just with him here, but we're going to be with him there forever. Let's lift our hands and love him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No matter what tomorrow brings or what it has in store, I know I will serve. I will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voices and your hands. Recommit serving him, following him, knowing him, tuning in, aligning yourself with him, answering the high calling of God is to be with Christ Jesus, to follow him. Oh, yes, until you are with him in eternity. Praise God.
Are you ready to receive that right now? For a few more moments, every mind on the Lord right now. He said that we will be heirs and joint heirs with Christ. It's about being with him. Walking with him. Brother Sapp mentioned figuring out that particular ministry, what am I called to? If we walk with God every day, you don't have to worry about what that calling is. That calling's built into the calling. It's just built in. You walk with God every day, one day you're going to turn around and say, how did I get here? One day you're going to realize this is, as Brother Sapp ministered, this is the moment of time of life of what God wants me to do within the calling. Just walk with Christ every day. And everything he desires in your life will be fulfilled. If you just walk with him every day. What a message. What a message. What a message. Praise God. The highest calling. Just to be with him. Just to be with him. Wow. Thank you, Brother Sapp. Thank you for coming out on a Wednesday night. I hope we take this word home with us tonight and that we think about it. We think about it. Because he answered something for you here tonight. He answered it. He told you how to stop your frustration about figuring out what God wants to do in your life. Come on, you know we're frustrated over things. When you love God, you're trying to figure that out. You want to know what that is. That can frustrate you. So he answered that for us tonight. That if you and I will recognize that what we are called to do is be with him and begin not to pursue some particular objective or goal, but to pursue being with him, everything else will take care of itself. Let's give the Lord praise. Thank you for your word tonight, God. Thank you for your message to us. Praise the mighty name of the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Lord bless you. You want to bless Brother Sapp on the way out, feel free to put a little something in this basket. We'll make sure he gets it. That was a message tonight. I think he deserves a little bit of blessing. We'll send him McDonald's or something. I love you guys. You're the best in the world. God bless you. Be dismissed in Jesus' name. When you greet one another, just tell them you're called to be with Christ. God bless you.